Today on Off Mic, President Joe Biden is in the White House and he's pushing forth ambitious plans on a number of issues. One is providing a path to citizenship for undocumented immigrants. We talked to one activist on what this may mean for those living in the shadows in Northwest Indiana. And the pandemic has led to the collapse of small businesses in Indiana and Illinois, but there are some who have decided that now is the time to open a business. We talked to three women who are doing just that. All this on Off Mic. Welcome to Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Michael Puente, reporter with WBEZ in Chicago. President Joe Biden is in office, and one of his top agenda items is providing a path to citizenship to 11 million undocumented immigrants. Is this the move? Is this the right move right now? Is it enough? Joining me to talk about the president's moves is Jose Bustos, a longtime immigrant rights activist from East Chicago. Jose, welcome to Off Mic.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Jose, you've dealt a lot over the years in East Chicago with immigrants' rights and immigrants in general. Before we get into the conversation about President Joe Biden's moves, can you tell our audience a little bit about your background?
Well, as you mentioned, I have worked with the immigrant community in all of Northwest Indiana and the east side of Chicago. It has been something that I really feel needs to be done because of the suffering and anguish that I see in the community with all this uncertainty that's taking place. And so, yes, I've been at it since 1978, I believe it is.
Yeah.
And so, yes, that's basically what I do outside of other community activism for social, economic, and environmental justice, but mainly immigration.
Jose, under the President Obama administration, there was an effort for a comprehensive immigration reform that, of course, stalled. Of course, President Obama introduced DACA to protect young immigrants who were brought here illegally by their parents to keep them to actually stay and help them become citizens. That was pushed aside by President Trump. Tell me a little bit, how has life been for the undocumented community the last 4 years under the Trump administration?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you can imagine the uncertainty of their lives, literally, was at its peak because it was like a roller coaster, up and down. One month you had this guy, President Trump, trying to do away with it. Then the anguish of waiting to see what the courts would say, and it's been a real roller coaster for all these people who thought they were pretty safe now. Because I mean, as you know, with DACA, all these young people were able to help their parents who are undocumented mostly, and they were able to get driver's license, and plate their cars, and thus diminish the risk of getting pulled over by the police and deported and all that. So it was a real good thing. But again, the uncertainty of the policies of President Trump made it really terrible. Really, it got him in anguish. And so everybody's happy now.
But it wasn't just the policies under the Trump administration. It was just the overall attitude that his followers, his supporters, it made life really difficult for undocumented immigrants just in the nastiness of it, correct?
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, but it was Trump. I mean, he emboldened, as you mentioned, his base to come out in the open because, I mean, that had always existed. The, I don't want to use the word, but yes, I mean, the racism to an extent was always there. And all it took was for President Trump to come out openly and be clear. I mean, you know, when he first, we all remember that little trip down the escalator talking about rapists and criminals and murderers drug runners and so forth. And so that was the beginning of people coming out and saying, yes, yes, that's what I've always thought. And so all these little right-wing people started popping up, groups started popping up, and they got pretty nasty. They got pretty nasty. And for the folks who didn't want to, you know, get into it with them.
Right.
Because they would lose. They were undocumented. But it was a sad thing to see. It was a sad thing to watch all of our people go through the hiding all over again when these people came out in the open.
Jose,
I'm glad that that's going to be over.
Jose, let me ask you this. On his very first day in office on Wednesday, President Biden signed an executive order not only protecting DACA, but also putting forth a pretty ambitious plan for a pathway to citizenship for up to 11 million undocumented people here in the United States. Is that a good start under this administration, or does it not go far enough, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, this this program that is called the U.S. Citizen Act of 2021, if it becomes law, it will be the most comprehensive reform, immigration reform, since the Reagan years. And, you know, if you ask if it's enough or it doesn't go far enough, I mean, we have this talk for over 3 decades, right, Michael? And it's just, it comes to the point where people, of course, are excited about it because of all the good things that are there. When Obama was in the last 4 years, he wanted to do an immigration reform also, which included all the parents of the DACA people, but it fizzled into nothing. And so there's some sort of a skepticism on the part of the folks because this talk has, you know, has taken place from three decades. And the only thing we have to show for it is DACA and, of course, the strengthening of the borders. But, I mean, yeah, it's a great start. It's a great start. But it's not enough, I like to think, because we have not heard anything about all those kids who have been separated from their parents. There's no talk about that whatsoever. Why? Is it really hard to locate the parents? Have they lost them? I mean, what is it about that that is not being talked about? All I've heard is now they're questioning Jeff Sessions, who was one of the architects of this family separation policy, and you know, some of his operational on people. They're trying to question them as to why that decision was made to implement it, but nothing has been said about something being done to better the lot of all those kids. Because your kids, most of them are 18 years or younger, and they've been separated for, Christ, some of them over a year. So, yes, this U.S. Citizen Act of 2021 is a great start if it comes to fruition, but also let's include those who are suffering right now.
Right. And have you had a chance to speak to any of your friends who may be undocumented? On, are they getting their papers ready? Are they hoping to file something soon with the federal government? Are they excited about this?
Well, they most definitely are. And you can believe that the papers, the documentation of the stay here in this country has been there. I mean, they've been doing that for a few years, actually. And so right now it's a lot easier because one of the requisites for people to qualify under this program is to prove that they've been in this country since January of this year. So, I mean, they have insurance papers, pay stubs, school papers for their kids. They're pretty much ready for the gates to open. Absolutely.
Jose, we're talking to Jose Bustos, a longtime immigrant rights activist from East Chicago. Jose, what do you say to people who are afraid now? They've been hearing reports about a huge migrant caravan starting in Guatemala, making their way up from Mexico, who say, oh, my God, now we're going to have to deal with more immigrants coming into this country during a pandemic and when jobs are scarce. Now, I got to say, though, it's kind of, you know, I'm not trying to confuse people though. You have those who come here for jobs and to make their life better, but then you got this so-called caravan or a group of people who are coming. They're actually seeking asylum to get away from difficult circumstances in their own country, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they are running from poverty. They are running from gang-ridden neighborhoods. They are running from their own government. And you're absolutely right, because there is a difference. There is a difference, those who are coming for jobs and those who are trying to escape all that violence. And, you know, it's good to hear President Biden talk about the process that is going to be taking place with these asylum seekers. It's not going to be a matter of camping them out on the Mexican side. It's going to take place as it should have taken place, as it does in other countries. I mean, the U.S. was very good at criticizing other countries when asylum was refused to refugees. And now here we are doing the same thing. So I have hope. I have hope that the process and the way that this situation is going to be handled is going to be more humane. There's going to be more empathy for those who are hoping to better their lot.
Well, Jose Bustos is a longtime immigrant rights activist from East Chicago. Jose, thank you so much for joining us here today on Off Mic.
My pleasure, Mike. Have a great day.
You too. And we'll be back with more Off Mic, and we'll start our discussion with female entrepreneurs. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Michael Puente. The pandemic has hit businesses in Indiana and Illinois hard. By some estimates, as many as 4,000 small businesses in Illinois have closed permanently. But some think this is the right move to start a new business. I had a chance to speak to three women who have recently opened their own businesses. We start off with Michelle Sear of Northwest Indiana Airport Express.
Hey Michelle, how long have you, when did you start the business?
So we started this like just before, right around the time where the pandemic was just getting started, before we really knew how serious it was. And of course, I think we did maybe one or two trips, and then business just came to a complete standstill, obviously, with the travel and industry at sort of a halt. And we really didn't have any travel at all for at least the last 8 or 9 months. And then really kind of did a reset just this last fall and started to really ramp up the promotions for that and then into the new year.
Wow. Okay. And so you would say you guys really started to take off, say, towards the end of last year?
Probably. Yeah, I would say November. You know, what's interesting, what really sort of helped launch us was some of the students at the area universities, since the shuttle stopped running and they really relied heavily on that, what they did was a lot of parents were really scrambling to try to figure out how to get their students home for the break. And they were leaving in November, obviously around Thanksgiving, to head back, and they weren't coming back until actually they're going to start coming back over the next week or so. So that's what really helped kind of launch us. I had a number of inquiries, and we tried to, you know, be reasonable, you know, reasonably priced so that they could kind of count on us to get their students safely to the airport.
Wow. So right now there used to be the shuttle, the USA coach line from Northwest Indiana to the airports. That doesn't exist anymore.
Right. That does not exist anymore. They stopped service, I believe, in the fall of 2019, and then, or like the end of 2019. And then the Royal Excursion, I believe, was going to take their place. And they had announced that they were going to start service again, literally like right around, like, I think it was, I saw a press release, it was like February, early March. And then of course the pandemic hit, and then they suspended their service and they haven't come back. And of course, as I was sort of doing my feasibility study when I was looking into launching our business, of looking into all of the different options, you know, on the high end and the lower end in terms of the cost spectrum, and talked with them even more recently. And right now, they said if they do offer service, the earliest that they would even be coming back would be in the summer. So we'll see. And even then, they're not 100%. There is another service, though, however, Purdue has a shuttle. I cannot recall the name of the company off the top of my head, but they come out of West Lafayette to take the Purdue students to the airports up here. Actually, they really only go to O'Hare. They're not going to Midway right now. So they've made a stop in Hammond. And so they're running right around $60 round trip. So there is a lower priced option out there for folks. But again, where they're stopping in Hammond, there's no overnight parking. And so you have to be dropped off, and you also are only, they're only going to O'Hare. So they're not going to Midway as of right now. So there's a couple options out there. And so we thought, you know, it'd be nice to come in the middle here. We're not a limo service per se, but we are kind of a private car for hire. But could we come in somewhere in the middle to make it affordable for the average family or person traveling who would otherwise really not have many options?
All right.
That was a long answer.
No, it's okay. And let me ask you this. So when you say, is it like a shuttle bus, or is it pretty much like a minivan or something like
that? So right now, you know, we start out with like a newer model. We have a couple Chrysler Town and Countries. We're looking into purchasing a larger 12 passenger Ford Transit van. We have one that we do use right now if we need to, if we have larger parties. And then also looking at like a town car or something, just sort of on the smaller scale for the executive that might be traveling to the airport. So,
all right.
And yeah, it's not a bus. I want to make sure we're not a shuttle bus. We do, you know, offer door-to-door service. So for example, if you were to call and we set up the appointment, I would pick you up at your home, help you with your luggage. They would get you, you know, to the airport, as well as then tracking your flight so that when you're coming and you're flying back in on the inbound, picking you up at arrivals and taking you back home. So it's trying to provide that higher end service, but at a more, you know, affordable cost for the average person.
Now, let me ask you this. Has there been any concern opening or starting a new business during a pandemic?
I think for us, not necessarily, because we can take the precautions, you know, for example, making sure that every vehicle is disinfected before and after a trip. All passengers are required to wear masks. Our drivers are required to wear masks. We even have, for any of our passengers that are maybe a little bit more at risk, but it's likely that they're probably not traveling anyway, but we also have a plastic barrier that we can put up between the drivers and the passengers as well. So we have every option available to take the precautions that are needed to make sure passengers, you know, that they feel safe and that they're comfortable.
All right. So Michelle, I know a little bit about it, but just to get it on record, your background is pretty much in education, correct?
Well, actually my background initially, I started in corporate marketing. So I worked in software and education as an education management company years ago when I did that commute to Chicago, and then crossed over into higher education about 20 years ago when I started working at IU Northwest. And then from there sort of took the trajectory into different positions throughout higher education at a number of different universities in the Midwest. And my last position was at St. Joe's College in Rensselaer. And unfortunately, since they ceased academic operations a couple of years ago, that put me in a position to kind of reevaluate, okay, where are we going with this? Do I want to, you know, move out of the area to pursue other opportunities? And at the time, I had a couple opportunities to move out of the area and work in another college university. But my son is still pretty young, so we didn't want to pull him out of the school system. Plus, we're so rooted in Northwest Indiana. So that was my opportunity to take a little step back and finish my graduate degree that I had been enrolled in, and was just doing some part-time consulting work and then teaching part-time. And so then we decided to do this business, and it's, you know, it's working out really well. And to truth be told, while I was going, you know, finishing my degree, I actually started to Uber a little bit part-time, and that's kind of what gave me sort of the transportation service bug. And then I also had worked part-time for a local limo company, so I have a little experience with that. So that's kind of how I shifted into this role. And I still, you know, I'm still doing consulting work in higher ed as well as teaching part-time. So, but it's kind of nice.
Do you have a PhD?
I do, actually. that is what I just finished just this last year, right before the pandemic. I was fortunate enough to be able to walk through graduation before we locked everything down, and poor kids last year weren't able to do that for the class of 2020. So I do. It's a PhD in education, but an emphasis in higher education leadership.
So far, how has it gone?
So far, it's gone really well. Pleasantly surprised. And I'm really, since I just started a new campaign about a week and a half ago, actually going into almost week two, even just on Facebook, the responses have been huge. I'm quoting, you know, quite a few every day, and I've already booked probably 20 trips in like a week. So we're going to be looking at, okay, what's the plan now if we get so busy where we're, you know, not able to accommodate everyone. And I've already got a couple partnerships in place with some other local companies where, for example, if there's one of us that's going to the airport and we're dropping someone off, but then we have nobody coming back and they need someone to pick up somebody at O'Hare or Midway. So it's like a little bit of a network there. We're kind of partnering, and I think that'll be very successful, and it will help each other out as well.
All right. And where do you see this going? If you're busy now and mm-hmm. things start to open up even more, so that definitely means people are flying a little bit more.
Right.
Are you prepared to, expand your service or take on more vehicles, or are you just trying to keep it slow, kind of manageable right now?
Right now, we just want to kind of keep it manageable. However, I'm really watching the trends to see as people start to travel more, and as we continue to get more folks that want to travel and need our services, we are in a position to expand by adding a couple vehicles. We've also got a couple drivers that have reached out to offer their services that they're interested. I'm not hiring necessarily right now, but we have a sort of in our back pocket, we got a couple people. You know, you have to be careful with that too, because you don't want to just hire anybody to drive. You have to be careful. If you're trying to offer a certain service level, no matter what business you're in, you need to make sure obviously there's some sort of training and they're going to, you know, meet that standard, as well as have an impeccable driving record, because, you know, the liability is on you as the business owner, regardless of who's working for you, and making sure that they're going to provide that same level of service. So you don't, you know, you continue to build your business and not lose business. So I think that's really, really important. So I really would kind of move cautiously down that road, but, you know, thoughtfully, and just have a really good plan as we start to get busier.
Is this service done by you and your husband?
Right. So my husband and I are both, you know, sort of equal partners in this.
And what's your husband's name?
Jim.
And he does a lot of the driving as well?
I usually do most of it, but then he'll pick up if, for example, we have a larger group and we need a couple vehicles, if we can't get, you know, the other, the larger vehicle in place yet, he'll help with that. And I do the bulk of the driving, but then he's kind of my backup. I hear him in the background. He's so, like, you want to pipe in? He's not an on-camera kind of guy, so.
That's okay. Let me ask you this. Was there any worry, or did anybody tell you, Michelle, right now just is not the time to start a business?
No, nobody ever told me that, because I usually don't listen to too many people. I'm pretty, I'm pretty strong-willed. So if I feel that, and pretty intuitive. So if I feel that there's a need or a service that needs to be offered, I just run with it. And, you know, I did my research, and obviously back when this all first started, I questioned it, my sanity, what are you thinking, you know? But we didn't have a whole lot invested back then. So it really wasn't a big hit. We just kind of rolled with it like everybody else did. Unfortunately, so many other businesses have really been hurting from this pandemic, and, you know, gratefully and thankfully we've been able to manage it fairly well, but, now is kind of looking up and people are starting to travel more. So we're pretty optimistic and hopeful about the future. People feeling more comfortable kind of getting out a little bit more as this vaccine becomes more available as well.
Let me ask you this. What would you tell people? I mean, they are seeing the headlines that so many businesses are closing or slowing down. What would you tell people if they're thinking about starting a business, especially women?
Well, I think if you're thinking about starting a business, you have to really think about what is the business that you're wanting to start, where your skills and your expertise lie. I mean, obviously, you know, I never thought that I'd be doing transportation per se, but, you know, we adapt sometimes and we need to in order to survive. And I think if you were to open up a new business right now, really be thoughtful. What is the product that you're offering? What is the service level that you are willing to provide? And you have to be willing to adapt and change. So for example, businesses that may not have, let's take a restaurant, for example, that really was sit down only, didn't even have an outdoor space, didn't offer curbside or delivery. You know, they had to change pretty quick. So I think anybody going into business right now needs to have those plans in place, depending on what the business is and if it can be delivered in different modes, so to speak. Not everybody's able to adapt, and you know, but that's something, especially if you're starting out from scratch and thinking about, I want to start a business, you know, doing your due diligence and researching and doing the market research. Is this a product or is this a service that people need, and how am I going to deliver it? So making sure you kind of cover all those bases. I think that's the best advice that you can give to try to minimize any of those surprises. Try to be prepared for anything. What do they say? Hope for the best, but plan for the worst. So very true in business too.
And you probably don't have though a lot of the overhead, a lot of other older businesses might have that they just maybe have so many employees and just it's crushing them.
Right.
So you probably don't have that kind of overhead stuff though, right?
Thankfully, no, we don't, you know, but we, you know, we do have, obviously, when it comes to the fleet, you need to maintain your vehicles. They have to be, you know, very well maintained and insurance and that sort of thing. So, but our expenses are nowhere near some of the other businesses. I mean, even some of the local limo and airport shuttle type companies in the area, you know, they've really suffered because they're, especially the limo companies, when they stopped the weddings and, well, the weddings weren't necessarily stopped, but the larger gatherings, if you will, the wine tours and all of that, that they really rely on for their livelihood. And they were employing people. So they really, really suffered. So thankfully we're not in that position right now to have to worry about that. So we just kind of keep it small and keep plugging along. So.
And that was Michelle Sear, owner and operator of Northwest Indiana Airport Express. And when we return to Off Mic, we'll talk to another businesswoman. Welcome back to Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Michael Puente, reporter with WBEZ in Chicago. Is starting a business during a pandemic a smart move? Some think so. We're highlighting three women who are leading the charge. Our second entrepreneur is Valerie Hammer, who is a Munster, Indiana resident, but runs an accounting service in South Suburban Frankfort, Illinois. But she also recently opened a boutique in the small village as well. I had a chance to visit her at her new boutique.
My name is Valerie Hammer, and I own a wonderful boutique in downtown Frankfort, and it's called Azul Boutique.
All right. How long have you been open?
I have been open since November.
What gave you the idea to start a boutique?
It's something that I always wanted to do. It's been a passion of mine, and I think it will be a lot of fun.
What's different? What's the difference between this boutique and, say, what's unique about this store?
Well, what's unique about this store is specifically just that it's a boutique. So boutique, we have a whole different line of products that we get to purchase. Mm-hmm. They're one of a kind of clothing, more artsy, lots of brush strokes and pearls and beads on clothing. So it's not the regular clothing you find at department stores.
Would you consider it high end?
I would not say high end. I would say probably better casual, light, dressy. It is excellent quality, so maybe in that regards. But I think when people think of high end, they think it's a high price tag. It is not. It's just very good quality clothing.
And some of the, are these like known designers, or they come from Europe or what?
Yes, a lot of them are known designers. I do carry Liverpool, which is also sold at Nordstrom's. It's beautiful quality clothing. I have Joseph Ripkoff, which is a designer out of Canada. It's sold in about 60 or 90 countries. Olis, Lisette L, mostly Canadian, European companies, as well as from the U.S.
Now, you also own a, you also have an accounting business too?
Yes, I do. I'm also an accountant with a practice in Frankfurt as well.
Okay, so then when you were thinking about starting a business in November, boutique, did you talk to anybody about that? Did you consult with anybody?
No, I just make my own decisions and I follow through with them.
All right, did anybody say, hey, Valerie, we're in the middle of a pandemic and businesses are shutting down left and right. Were you aware of that?
Yes, I was aware of that. I'm totally aware of what's happening in the economy, but I did not speak to anybody because most people don't have a vision like you do, and they're not the ones that have your dreams. Mm-hmm. Being that I am an accountant is also what guided me to go ahead and open the store.
But did anybody tell you, when you see the reports? Now, obviously, there's a lot of negative news out there, so sometimes people take it with a grain of salt. But just like it can be daunting to see the percentage of businesses that are either struggling or have shut down in Illinois, and then to jump into that. But you felt this was a good opportunity.
I did. Those things definitely I thought about. And I still went forward, and here's why. I did not put all my eggs in the same basket, and that is what most people do. They overextend themselves. I didn't do any of that. Being an accountant, I'm careful, I'm cautious. I have a regular full-time job as being an accountant of my own business, so this is something an additional, and people still have to wear clothes. Even though people are working from home, I sell clothes that you can wear from home, and then I also have the dressier type of clothing for the women who still have to go out, and they're vice presidents of their businesses, realtors that, you know, have to dress accordingly. So I still have those type of clothing. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. Even though the world is in a pandemic, I'm still retaining or acquiring that special boutique style customer.
And how's it been so far since opening in November?
It's been exciting. It's been fun and exciting. I receive a lot of feedback from the ladies coming in saying that they're happy that there's another boutique in town. What is so special about this area is that most people who live here, their parents live here and their children live here. We're right next door to the bike path and the trolley barn, and it's the historic downtown Frankfurt. People live here, they shop local. So what's wonderful about it is there weren't that many clothing boutiques, and a couple of them have closed, but then I've opened. So it's wonderful for the people who are here.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, why downtown Frankfurt?
It's just such a cute, quaint area, and it draws a lot of people to it. So the historic downtown area, they do a lot of promotions all year long, and everybody works collaboratively, all the boutiques. So I chose this area just because of that, rather than have a standalone somewhere by myself and I'm isolated. I'd rather be part of a community.
And how often are you open?
I am open. In January, we're a little slow. All the retail is slow. So I'm open from Wednesday through Friday from about 10 to 5 o'clock, Saturday 10 to 4, and then we have a few hours on Sunday 11 to 3.
And let's see, have you, how's the foot traffic been in terms of, are you getting people in based on word of mouth or what?
I'm getting a lot of people based on word of mouth. I'm doing a lot of social, let's see.
Social media.
So I have Facebook, I have Instagram, and I'm actually taking photos of the building that I'm in and saying I am in this building next to this boutique. So people are really getting a visual of where I'm at, and I think that's important. But I'm getting a lot of foot traffic just from the people in the town, mostly from the people in the town coming in saying that they didn't know there was a new boutique. So the word is really getting out.
So why don't you show me some of your clothing? What do we have here? Because I'm looking at some of the things on this rack, and it looks pretty cool.
So this is that brand Liverpool Jeans. It's known, a lot of really beautiful fabrics, lots of pants. The pants are really what's known for this company, been the jeans. Wonderful stretchy fit, lots of variety, just good quality garments. But the biggest draw is this brand. So this is Joseph Ripkoff. So the wonderful thing about this company is it is a little pricier, but it's absolutely excellent quality. People know about this all over the world. Mm-hmm. So I'm getting a lot of inquiries from people in other countries asking about this product. Also, what's wonderful about it, it goes from size 2 to 22, so plus size women as well. And they allow us to order special order just for you, which is what is fantastic about having a boutique, to have those type of vendors that let you special order for that client.
Has it been more of a struggle since you just opened? I mean, you opened right at the end of the year. It's slow time. Has it been tough?
It has not been tough. It actually has been fun. Mm-hmm. So with the accounting business, we really wind down after the extensions are done in October 15th. Mm-hmm. I pretty much have the rest of the year free. So this actually just worked out perfectly that now I can devote all my time into getting this up and running, mm-hmm. and then get people hired to work in both businesses as well.
And do you see you got the vaccines that are out there, and although there's still some infections, of course, do you see it just sort of getting better as the year progressive, just, you know, with the economy getting better and people going back to work, that they're going to need clothes again? So you feel like perhaps it might just get even better from here?
I believe it's getting better. People are more cautious. We're cautious about everyone's safety, so we also sanitize in between. We're doing everything possible. We're offering private shopping earlier in the morning, later in the evening. We're inviting, families to come together, two sisters, a best friend, whatever it takes to just have the few people in the store at a time. Mm-hmm. And that's been working for us.
So what's the square footage of this building? Or at least of this space?
Of my space is very small. It's 400 square feet, which is very tiny, but I maximized it.
Right. It looks nice. And you got the jewelry and some of the accessories and everything.
Yeah, so I'm going to bring in some more jewelry because people love jewelry. Mm-hmm. I know people have been out of work for a long time. They were compensated with getting unemployment. Mm-hmm. But the longer you stay home, the more bored you become. So eventually people get stir crazy. Right. And they're going to start coming out and they're going to start shopping. And, your clothes do wear out. People do get tired of wearing the same thing every day. So mm-hmm. I don't think it's really going to affect me, especially because my store is so small, my overhead is low, and I have another job.
Right.
So for me, it'll work.
Right. What's been some of the comments you've gotten from some of your customers?
Most of the comments that I get are, thank goodness there's another boutique in the area, because those people love to shop local. They walk here from their homes and then they go to the restaurants right over. The other comments are that the quality of my clothing is excellent, that my whole design, the style is exciting, that's trendy, it's not something that's very common, so I get a lot of compliments that way.
Do you see yourself perhaps, if you get a little bit more successful, maybe expanding to a larger office suite?
I do. Yeah. It just depends. You know, sometimes there's nothing wrong with staying where you are, even if you become more successful. All that means is I'd have to turn over the product quicker to make room for anything new that's coming in or find more innovative ways to make the sales.
Now, you did say you're your own boss, you made your own decision, but in conversations with a colleague or a friend or relatives, did anybody tell you, don't do this right now?
No, nobody said don't do it. All they said was, you know, am I sure this is something that I'm interested in doing, or have I thought everything through, which I have.
All right. And what do you, I mean, also you're a female and you're making the decisions. What do you, is there any advice you would give to other perhaps women who are thinking about opening their own business?
I would say do it. Follow your dreams. That's the only way you're going to be fulfilled as an individual, as a person, as a woman, and inspire other women. And if you're thinking of opening up a business, I say speak to an accountant. And also find a mentor.
Did you have one?
No.
You yourself, your old mentor.
My mentor is, I really worked with the vendors and I asked their advice. I said, what is the most, you know, the highest selling product and what are the hot colors? And, you know, I asked for advice and I relied on them to sell me the products that would sell the best.
Okay. Well, where are you originally from?
I live in Munster, so I'm in Northwest Indiana. I've been a lifelong resident of Northwest Indiana. But I have been drawn to this cute community of downtown Frankfort, and I love it here.
And what's it, about 15 minutes away for you?
It takes me about 20 minutes, so it's not far at all.
And what is, I mean, accountant, I mean, maybe in my mind, maybe it's a wrong comparison, but how do you go from accountant, which maybe people might think is a stuffy profession, lucrative but stuffy, to fashion?
Good question. Most people don't think of accountants as being creative. Well, that's an old stereotype. You should never have that stereotype anymore. I still am a woman and a business owner. So I'm just looking to diversify myself and to really the reason why I started the store was to find another avenue of generating income that would be fun and exciting for me and for all my friends and something that I can do as I near retirement.
And that was Valerie Hammer, owner of Azul Boutique in Frankfort, Illinois. When we come back, we talk to one more entrepreneur. Welcome back to Off Mic on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Michael Puente. We've been talking to female entrepreneurs about opening a business during a pandemic. Is it a smart move? They say yes. It's a great time to open a new business. Our third and last guest is Lenore Medellin. She started a catering business with her husband, Renee, on the southeast side of Chicago. Now, this segment is going to sound a little bit like Chef Nick's of his show coming up later on this afternoon. We're not trying to step on Chef Nick's toes on Let's Eat. This is Off Mic, but we'll get into it right now. And Lenore, where are you from?
I'm from the south side of Chicago.
What is the name of your business?
The Impeccable Bite.
All right. And how did you come up with that name?
It started off as an Instagram kind of just, you know, we kind of just thought about it, I guess you could say. An Instagram thing where we kind of just were putting restaurant recommendations, I guess you could say, of different places that my husband and I would go to. My husband's a chef and I've worked in catering but for years. So we kind of just would always go to different restaurants and people would constantly ask us, like, where'd you go? Would you do this? Where should I go for this restaurant? So we kind of just started an Instagram page and it started from there. And then during quarantine is when we decided to open the business and we deleted the pictures from when we had like restaurant reviews and just focused more on our business.
When did you guys get rolling with this catering business?
Honestly, probably about a month ago. It was very fast.
Let me make sure. You said you've been in catering for how long?
probably at least the last 5 or 6 years. And before that, I was always in hospitality and like doing events. And I used to be a banquet server, and then I kind of just moved my way on up.
So then, where has he cooked at? He's a chef.
Yes, he right now he is a chef at a nursing home, but he used to be at Freddy's in Northwest Indiana.
I know Freddy's. Yeah, Freddy's good.
Yeah, he used to be their head chef there. He used to work at Horseshoe Casino. I used to work at Horseshoe Casino. He worked in the steakhouse. And yeah, now he's at Wittenberg.
What made you decide to start this during a pandemic?
To tell you the truth, well, my husband's still working full time. I was let go in October, and when quarantine started, you know, I was furloughed in March. I kind of just had time to work on projects that we have always talked about, but never pursued. And, you know, I read books that I wanted to read or watched, you know, certain movies that I didn't get to see. And I had all this time, and, you know, we were just in the house. And then, you know, we had always talked about doing some kind of catering business. We've talked about maybe one time trying to do a food truck. And then we said, you know what, let's just start small, and we'll start making charcuterie platters, which, you know, he makes all the time for family parties, and I make them. But he's mostly the cook. I do more of like the business side, and talking to people, but, he made them all the time, and people always loved them. So we said, why don't we just start small there, and we'll see where it goes. And so far, we've got a big response, especially from our neighborhood.
Wow. Wow. So then let me ask you this before we get to that point. Did anybody tell you right now is just not a good time to start a business since a lot of businesses are closing right now?
A lot of people had mentioned it. A lot of people had said, go for it. Why not? I mean, you know, with 2020 being the way it is, people have just said, do whatever you want. So we've got a response from both sides.
All right. And so how much, I mean, you don't have to tell me exactly, or if you're uncomfortable with this question, but like, how much of an investment are you making in this? Where, let's say this goes south, are you going to lose everything you own? Or is this sort of your sort of, you know, how much of a personal investment are you making in this?
I mean, right now it's very small. We're doing, you know, I mean, we're kind of just doing it out of our home, you know, out of our own spaces, which, I mean, we know we won't, we kind of, know what, I mean, we know what we're doing most of, you know, but I don't want to say, you know, if we do lose everything, we're not losing a big investment. We're not, right at this point, we're not putting that much into it. It's kind of just something fun, something on the side that we're doing.
Great. Great. Okay. So then, where, you know, with right now, there aren't that many banquets happening right now. So where are you catering at right now?
So in our neighborhood, we have a lot of small businesses, and people are, just doing small personal things. So we haven't really done any banquets. We did a grand opening where they requested a large board. So we did that one. And then when we sell them, we cater them. The boards are small. They're catered for 2 people, and then we have another size for 4. We can do larger boards if they request, or individuals. So it really depends on the customer. But right now, we haven't done any banquets. We've just, you know, we've only been doing this a month.
All right. And charcuterie is like basically like pork meats, pretty much?
Yeah. So meat and cheese boards with accompaniments. So we do, honey. My husband marinates olives. We've changed up the menu. We've had it for Christmas, New Year's Eve, and we're going to have a Valentine's Day menu. So for Christmas, he did grilled marinated vegetables served cold. And then he did, an assortment of meats and cheeses. He, marinated olives, which people tend to like to love. So we're keeping that on the menu. And then for New Year's Eve, we kind of did more of a sweet menu. We also included the meat and cheese, but we did a Merlot cheese, a champagne cheese. So we try to change it up to give a variety.
All right. And so right now, though, you're having fun in this?
Yeah, I would say we having a lot of fun. We did a podcast on Sunday, and I'm actually surprised at the, I guess you could say, the reaction we're getting just from our neighborhood. A lot of people in our neighborhood, we had some people order a board and say, "What is charcuterie? I just wanted to try it. It looks so good." And then we had some people that said they were charcuterie kind of closet charcuterie fans. And they said that is one of the things they love to munch on or create themselves. But when they saw our board, they just thought it was beautiful and they wanted to buy one. So we are having a lot of fun just, you know, meeting new people and creating different menus of our own.
And that was Lenore Medellin of The Impeccable Bite. Well, that's all the time we have for our show. You can hear this episode again as a podcast by going to lakeshorepublicradio.org. For me, Michael Puente, thank you for listening. Amor y suerte.